Live streaming at 991fmtalk.com.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
No shortage of things to talk about, is there? I'm John Potter. Boy, as I said earlier, a fine week, and Joe could not have messed up traffic more if he had tried. Early in the week on that Monday, Dave is calling about that. Dave is one of the bus drivers who was on the roads on that unforgettable
that
Monday.
Right.
Hello, Dave. Tell us your experience.
I'm glad that this week's over with because of Monday. But I was on my school route at the south end of town, and I'm coming across Koontz, and I could see the bridge being blocked off ahead of me. So I thought, okay. So I was the first one at the barricade on the west side of the highway, and Highway Patrol, the Carson City Public Works, and NDOT, they were all out there blocking the bridge, as well as all the others up and down 580. And we sat there for over an hour, from about 7:15-ish till after almost 8:30. And they were not letting anyone cross the bridge for anything. And I saw this local resident walking her dog, and they would not even let her cross the bridge. Nobody was crossing. And watching the traffic on Edmonds on the other side, it was just foul going back and forth, north and southbound. And then, I got some assistance when they finally lifted the barricades for the traffic to go through. I was going to have to make a left turn onto Edmonds, and the highway patrol officer, she was kind enough to go ahead of me, block the intersection, and I could make my left turn and get the school bus going again up along Edmonds. But otherwise, I would have been stuck for the traffic. But
didn't anybody think of the fact that these are hours when people are already backing up the highways to get to work, but also the school bus schedule? They just disregarded that. Did it have to be at that worst possible time? Anyway,
it couldn't have been any worse. No, I mean, it was, everything was fouled. And all the other routes were really goofed up, too. So we all had to sit and wait, and everybody ran late. So, it was bad. And I have a friend that works at the sheriff's department, and she had to go up to Airport Road and, I guess, go under the freeway and come back down to get to where she had to work. Yeah, Monday morning. So, everybody was fouled every which way.
I appreciate your call, Dave. School bus, for what school was this?
Carson City.
Carson City. Oh, my gosh. Down there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. So, basically, the town was cut in two. Yeah.
Dave,
it was bad.
Appreciate your call, my friend. And as Craig told us, gave us Joe's schedule of the takeoff today around 1:30 this afternoon, I believe.
Yeah, 1:45. So since all the closures, in fact, our illustrious Jerry Evans said that basically Virginia Street is, 395 North is closed. Please let John know. Heading out of town soon, no doubt. Virginia North is bumper to bumper. So everybody's diverting off and running Virginia or Kitski, but not getting anywhere.
Well, thanks for staying on top of it, Craig. Appreciate that. You know, all this talk about traffic messes and Biden makes me want to feel like drinking some wine. There you go. There's your introduction. Stuart.
Nice segue.
That's it?
That's it. Stuart Michelle. Who was the organizer? You put this together from scratch. Nevada grape growers and winemakers. Back when I was here in the 70s, we had no such thing. We had no grape growing here whatsoever. And it began with with what? Who was the first one to make wine in Nevada? Do you know this?
I do, actually. Down in Pahrump.
Oh, that's right.
So the Pahrump Valley Winery, and then Jack Sanders Family Winery, and now there's two more wineries, or there's a wine bar and a winery, Artesian Cellars in Pahrump, and a new wine bar. And then actually we have a new member and a new winery in Summerlin, Pine Hollow Winery. So,
and what do you say to people who say you can grow grapes and make wine in the desert?
Well, you bet. You've heard this from me already, John. You know, I was on your first show, I think, when you started, and here we are.
Year and a half ago.
So having fun all the time. Yes, we can grow grapes quite successfully here in Nevada. Okay. So we have two different climate zones, really, when you think about it. Las Vegas, where you were talking about earlier. So they're actually into harvest already down in Vegas. And mm-hmm. I was walking around the vineyard this morning pulling a few grapes, and they're not quite ready yet, but it's a topic of discussion.
Folks can join. I'm a member of Nevada Grape Growers and Winemakers. I don't make any wine, but I enjoy the atmosphere and the wine dinners and such like that. But the group is going through a change. It is going to be a commercial winery membership. But there is a way that if you love wine and you love to talk wine, because that's what we do at wine dinners, you can still join in, right?
That's a perfect segue to, we just added a new button after your last show. We realized that we needed to put that support us button right on our homepage. So on the bottom left-hand corner, besides being able to look up local wineries and get information about our local wineries and commercial members, we have a support us button. And no joking aside this time, $10 or more contribution, we would appreciate of the listeners' support.
And then how do you become a member of the new revised organization?
Absolutely. Great question. Well, again, we've now graduated or expanded to the point where a 501c6, so like a chamber of commerce. We're a nonprofit organization, mm-hmm. But a trade organization. And our commercial members, our commercial wineries that are already here and members, and our commercial grape growers, we hope, we expect at our annual meeting in November that they will form a board and then be running the organization. But as you know, there's 50 plus home winemakers and grape growers here, and we need a place for all of them. We'll be having
aficionados.
Yeah,
right.
We'll be having our social meetings and our wine master dinners that I got to see you at last Thursday. But our
commercial, that was fun.
Our commercial members will hopefully run the organization, and we can all belong, as well as the public, as supporters and associate members.
The website tells you all. NGGW.org. That was a great wine dinner, by the way.
Wasn't that a fantastic evening?
Thursday night. This, I think, was our second or third at Wild River.
Wild River Grill, Rito, Matt.
They are the best. They are amazing.
They do a fabulous job.
By far, my favorite restaurant besides the El Dorado, Roxy, and La Strada. I love Wild River Grill. And it was these wine dinners, how many people? Just 18 people.
We had 18 people in that little back room. It was very comfortable, beautifully set up, well organized.
Yes.
Superb service by Matt and Jade, and Nate, the chef, just, I think, went beyond.
Yes, and you bring these winemakers in from, California?
Yeah,
and
they come up. Tom Farella.
He brings his wines, and we're all eating this gourmet food, and he stood up and talked a bit about himself. There's a lot of fun to be had, some laughs and such.
Laughs got better as the night went on.
Did they?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
I think so. I think we certainly enjoyed the evening. It was a generously poured wine, I think. And Tom brought his Sauvignon Blanc from Napa, and then that was then we had a second course with Merlot, and then Cab Sav, and then his fine wine, his Alta. He's very proud of his blend wine.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, you guys take this all so seriously, that the winemaker, as I recall, he brought you had the schedule of wines that he was going to serve with each course. And what were there, six courses to this dinner?
Yeah, five courses plus dessert.
A different wine for each course. And on one of the courses, he mistakenly brought his Merlot. And what was this? So he brought his Merlot instead of a cab. And oh my gosh, it was such a, he had to get up and apologize for this. And I mean, this is a great.
He's a very passionate man.
So. it's all good. It's all good. But this is how serious the grape growers, the winemakers are, and also the aficionados like myself.
Yeah, well, we formed the organization as an educational organization, but you know, the underlying fundamental, we must have fun.
Yes, but it was a panic at the Wild River Grill because he mistakenly brought the Merlot instead of the cab. Now, really, folks.
What a problem.
Let's talk wine. We're opening up the lines at 884-9910. Questions about wine, or you can boast about your favorite wine. What kind of wine drinker are you? And also, have you considered growing grapes? Stuart does it in his backyard.
Yeah.
And little wineries people have. I see them especially, oh my gosh, Reno has three that I think off the top of my head, just going by, oh gosh, I forgot the name of the street.
Nevada Sunset, Great Basin, and Engine 8 over in Sparks.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, 884-9910 is the number to call. And one more segment with Stuart, and we're encouraging you to join in on this fantastic organization at nggw.org. I'm John Potter with Stuart. At 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time is 11:17.
Audience participation suggested. KKFT is Nevada's Fox News FM Talk station. 99.1
and 92.3 FM.
Okay, so I am having a fruit salad for dinner. It's mostly grapes. Actually, it's all grapes. Fermented grapes. Okay, I'm having
a glass
for dinner.
Yeah.
Yes, there you go. But, Stuart, a glass of wine does count as a serving of fruit, doesn't it?
Absolutely, it does in my mind.
There you go.
Yeah.
You health nuts.
Everybody's in.
All right, we were boasting and talking so much about this wonderful wine dinner that we just had. We ought to talk about the next one. You have a harvest dinner coming up, and 22 wines have been submitted. And these are what, Nevada wines?
These are Nevada-made wines, and quite a few of them are Nevada-grown fruit.
Well, give us the details on this harvest dinner.
Absolutely. So this is our fourth annual harvest dinner. Our first one was in 2020. So the last three, or at least the first two, were a bit of a challenge given COVID. But we spaced everybody out. Wild River did a great job. We did
the wine killed the COVID germs.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they would. Anyway, go ahead.
You bet. So we challenged our commercial members this year to submit wines so that the Wild River Grill culinary team can actually taste all of the wines and select five to six that they would like to pair then with the menu. Then they go ahead and prepare the menu. So we have 22 wines. We have 20 commercial wines and two home winemaker wines submitted. So it'll be a fun afternoon next week at Wild River. The harvest dinner is a celebration of a harvest. So as I said earlier, Southern Nevada is already in the harvest. We are measuring Brix. Brix is that measure of sugar that determines when you harvest the grapes.
Oh, now you're going way off.
Yeah, let's not get too technical.
You talk to some of these people like I do at the wine dinner.
Yeah.
Oh, you hear so much about the pH balance and the this and that. And the,
we did,
some of these
we?
Folks like Adrian have like labs, like Dr. Frankenstein lab.
It's a science. it is a science for sure.
It's a fun thing to do.
The Wild River is purely a celebration. It's a fun night. We do no business.
It's Wild River again.
Wild River Grill. This will be our fourth harvest dinner.
You know, folks, you combine wine with dinner. What do you have? It's winner. Now, see?
If any of your listeners would like to attend the dinner, it usually sells out very quickly. This year we capped it at 55 people just so that everybody has a good seating at the Wild River, and that's in the main dining room. And People will have the information soon after we do the wine tasting next week with Wild River. They'll create the menu, and then we'll put the publicity information on nggw.org.
What is parenting? Empty threats and full glasses of wine. That's what I heard somewhere. Okay, and now, besides the harvest dinner, which will be a lot of fun, TMCC is actually presenting a class, a course, a wine course at TMCC. Tell us about that.
This will be our third course. Well, our platinum sponsor is the University of Nevada College of Ag, along with the experiment station, the Ag Station, and then that also is supported. They also support Desert Farming Initiative. So those three entities are all involved in our education. And as a platinum sponsor, they get to come to all of our events and talk about what they're doing and what we're doing together.
But if you take the course, it's not, is it classroom?
It is a classroom. And so this is TMCC. And it's our hope that as we move forward in the future, but especially with the commercial members, that these TMCC graduates will actually create vineyards, maybe home vineyards. And some of our home vineyard growers are actually in the process of going commercial. So it's a progression. The TMCC course is actually conducted by Kathy Russell, who's on our board, and her and Bob Russell have 6,500 vines out in Palomino Valley, 5 acres. They're one of our largest commercial growers here in Northern Nevada. Kathy does a fabulous job. All the students really enjoy her class, and she challenges them actually at the beginning to actually start gathering all the information and the knowledge that they get in the class, and their last presentation is their home backyard vineyard that they design.
Oh, beautiful.
And they present that to the group.
Now, for joining nggw.org, I don't grow wine. What would you call me? I call myself a wine enthusiast because the more wine I drink, the more enthusiastic I get. So,
definitely a byproduct of it, John, for sure. Maybe we should come up with a better name than associate and supporters, but we certainly need the support, and we hope that our commercial members, as they grow and more commercial wineries open up in Nevada and more commercial grape growers, we hope that the public will support the Nevada wine industry and buy Nevada.
It's still a new industry for Nevada, besides the Pahrump one that's been there a long time. I'm curious to know, have Nevada wines entered in any kind of competition that is like nationwide or anything like that, where people... Now, I remember living in Texas, we had a huge wine event, and you know, where they have the tents and everything like that, and other states would send in their wines, and we would judge some of these wines from different states. Have Nevada wines faced any kind of judging?
Absolutely, and they've actually risen to the top. The pinnacle of the awards won by Nevada wineries was Nevada Sunsets Riesling. On 4th Street, right next to Lead.
Now, they don't grow vines on 4th Street, right?
Yeah. No, not in that neck of the woods, no. Too much blacktop down there.
Okay.
But they harvest their grapes throughout Nevada, Yerington, and also purchase grapes from Northern California to supplement the supply. But their Nevada Riesling won Best of Show and Double Gold at the San Francisco Chronicle Wine Competition, and which is one of the largest two competitions in the West Coast. You can pretty much imagine that all the Washington, Oregon, California wineries are going to be participating in both the Chronicle and the LA Times wine competitions. The fact that they won Best of Show for the Riesling shows that we can make fantastic wines here in Nevada.
Actually, instead of calling myself wine enthusiast, I think I should be refer to myself as a wine connoisseur. A wine connoisseur is a person who orders every restaurant's second cheapest bottle of wine. The cheapest one, no, that's
now
not
that's
a connoisseur.
That's going to create some call-ins.
So second cheapest connoisseur. I'm just inventing stuff as I go. We're down to the last minute, so let's do the final pitch here. NGGW.org and the Harvest Dinner, which is coming up, which we invite you folks to be a part of. And I am having a wine event in my backyard.
You are?
Yeah. So I don't know what to do with that.
It is, well...
It's the second annual. It's done
the,
it before.
It's the second annual summer wine party. Again, no business. Anybody that would like to attend, carefully, we have a limit on John's backyard, John and Kathy's backyard, but appetizer plate and a bottle of wine to share with everybody. And
do you have this on your website?
We do have this
okay,
on
well, then
website.
You can,
people can RSVP.
That, there you go, nggw.org, and my or Kathy and I are hosting a wine party at our house coming up in a, when is it, week, 2 weeks?
September the 16th.
September 16th.
Coming up quickly.
Stuart, always good to see you, my friend.
Always good to see you, John. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for saving the show. Thanks for saving the show. It was crashing and burning big time. I mean, when I get talking about Netflix passwords, you know this guy's run out of stuff.
Well, John, it, just to finish out, it's red, white, and blue. You know, we got the red and the white, and you've got the blue. So
yes, I have the blues. 884-9910, open topic next half hour. Thanks, Stuart. We'll be back. We're going to break for Fox News on 99.1 FM and 92.3 FM. FM News Talk time is 11:30.
Let's get it. Got no grapes on a vine in the vineyard. Just some dirt and an old John Deere.
You can leave your long stem grass on the top shelf. We drink it straight out the bottle round here. It's that two-foot truck, pull it up, kind of drunk on the back porch getaway. Cranking up dust on the bottle of strawberry wine will get you spinning like a record player.
Fox News and live FM talk radio. KKFT 99.1 FM talk. And live right now with your calls.
The Weekend on News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
I'm John Potter. Hello. It's 11:36 and our phone number, it's open, 884-9910, live and local every Saturday morning between 9 and noon. I got this text after the show last Saturday. I don't know. I can't remember if they're referring to, I did a rant about the migrants. And also, I did one, I think the same day, on the money we're spending for Ukraine, which is like an open checkbook. And I don't like open checkbooks. But somebody did text me and say, what about, and this comes up all the time when you bring up how much we're spending for this or that. We're spending money to cover college debt now. And I always get the text that says, what about our homeless veterans? And I'm with you all the way right there, but I have to tell you that if you're a homeless veteran and you are homeless, with all due respect, it's you. You're struggling with something that keeps you homeless. It's not from lack of services, because I know, because I did, I know several veterans who have, and the programs they have locally, and I've reported out at the CARES campus and things like that, but with homeless veterans, that's not from lack of services. If you're a veteran with the United States military and you don't want to be homeless, we have a variety of programs that will right now take care of you. And I stand in awe and appreciation of those programs, and I think they do need a salute. You don't hear much about them. But again, if you're a U.S. veteran honorably discharged and you don't have a place to stay, your community has you covered, number one. Number two, yeah, there is an obvious growth in homelessness, to be honest with you. And maybe I'm just a little bit prejudiced by, you know, I spend a lot of time downtown every week. I like to walk at sunrise and get my coffee downtown and walk back home. And I see it's a big wow. I see, boy, a lot of people who sleep on benches all day. By the way, little offshoot of that, the city is thinking of making downtown a little more walkable friendly, and they want to build all these benches. And I'll tell you right now, with the homeless that we have, the city is a little misdirected there. Those benches, I'm sure, are going to be utilized mainly by the homeless. But anyway, getting back to what I'm saying, there's a growth in homelessness. I've seen it, especially downtown. I'm not exactly sure that I see that those individuals are victims of an oppressive society. I think that by and large, people are homeless because for any number of reasons, they choose to be. Now, that choice may be deeply influenced by addiction or by mental illness, or maybe you can't get work because you have a criminal record. One thing they don't talk about the homeless is one reason why they're homeless is because they can't get a job with a criminal record or a sex charge against them. There are many who do have that. That's why I feel a lot of people are naive about going in there and mixing and mingling and inviting the homeless to this or that and your personal space. No, you have to realize that many are there because they have a record, and that's why they can't get work. But if you need shelter and you want to get in out of the elements here, you can. If you want to get housing, you can. Now, you may have to stop using drugs and may have to stop drinking all the time, right? You may not be able to use drugs in the place that you stay, but that doesn't seem to be an unreasonable condition. And I would also point out that there is absolutely much to be done here in our area, even though we already on social have these social welfare programs in our region, and we spend staggering amounts of money in the state of Nevada. There's more to do, certainly. But homeless veterans, no, we have you covered, at least from what I know and what I've experienced being in the news business and such, of all the programs that are there for you if you're a veteran. Also local, I thought this was interesting, infographic that highlights the top spelling searches in each state. That darn Google, it knows everything you do. And this, again, comes from Google. And it looked into searches that began with when you type in Google, when you type in, how do you spell blank, some word. Google remembers that. And the results they put together are amusing. Ohio's top search word, how do you spell, in Ohio, the word is choir. Ohioans don't know how to spell choir. Kentucky's was again. No, I'm not joking. This is for real. Indiana's, how do you spell word? Awesome. That's Indiana. West Virginia's top search was, this sounds like a joke. I swear to God, this is for real. West Virginia's top search word, how do you spell, was West Virginia. You can go on Google and ask. It'll tell you. For real. Okay, so you know I'm going to spring Nevada's most misspelled word here. Nevada's most misspelled word. Craig, you have to venture a guess here what the most misspelled word in Nevada is?
I'm afraid.
The most misspelled word in Nevada is seizure. I don't know why, but yes, that's it for Nevada. S-E-I-Z-U-R-E. We choke on the word seizure, which doesn't sound very healthy. There was one Twitter comment here that says, somebody needs to check on Nevada. Okay, so listen, I have been around, and Nevadans have more state pride, I can say, than anywhere else except for Texas. I resided in Texas twice. I loved it. But Texas pride is it's a in-your-face kind of boastful proud that says, we're great, you suck. No, to be honest with you. And they have signs on the roads all the time. It says, oh my gosh, I forgot. It was a very in-your-face Texas pride message. Nevadans are just as proud, but with more humble confidence. We have the mountains. We have the awful, awful. Well, yeah, we do. Actually, we have the awful, awful in, well, Craig knows, but he's busy taking calls. I think at the Nugget in Sparks, are they stop? I don't know. I know I just had the awful, awful in Ely. There's a pub that, I'm getting off track, but it's true. We have the all-you-can-eat sushi, see? And we apparently spell better than the rest of the country. And in Texas, this is what I'm getting into, the most misspelled word in Texas, according to Google Trends, is normal. checking on our neighbors. Colorado stumbles on the word choice. Wyoming can't spell autumn. Nevada chokes on the word seizure, but we're humble about it. The way Texas behaves, it's not normal. There you go. N-O-R-M-A-L, Texas. Duh.
All right. Before we go to break, John, I have something we need, some business we need to take care of.
Business?
Yes.
What is that?
I would like you to pick a number between 1 and 20.
Today, my word, a letter or word
number.
Or number? a 7. I'm a 7 guy.
7, 2, 4, 6, 7. Okay, so if your phone number ends in 3713, again, 3713, you have won the golf pass for DeAndrea, the season, the VIP
That's
season
right.
pass.
We took qualifiers.
Yes, we did. We took qualifiers all week, and number 7 is 3713. Text 884-9910, 775-884-9910, with your contact information, your name, full name, we won't use your full name on the air, and your email address. We have to have that, please.
Every Saturday, we select one winner on our show, and for the next couple of Saturdays, and each winner gets an all-inclusive DeAndrea Golf Club membership for 2023.
The end, yeah, for the last bit, half of the season.
Excellent. Yeah, let's talk about that after the break. In the meantime, do we take this call here?
We can take him, or
let's
if you'd
it.
Like, let's do it.
Hey, Tim is calling from Austin or about Austin. Hi, Tim.
Austin, Nevada. He's out, and he's listening to us on our stream.
Awesome.
Yeah,
hey, Tim.
Guys. Austin, Nevada. Greetings. Hey, you know what? Here's something kind of goofy, but it's a lot. I came across it by chance. So I needed to buy some 5-gallon buckets, you know, that you get from Home Depot or Lowe's. And what's really funny are the reviews. And if you go down and see the reviews that people write about the buckets, I mean, it's like a comedy act, you know? This bucket, I've never had a greater bucket, you know, kind of thing. It's, this holds 5 gallons of whatever I want, blah, blah, blah. But it's just funny. It's just a, something to leave
the show. Tim, I got to ask, who has the time to write a review on a bucket? And what can you say about it?
That's what
all I can think of to say is that it doesn't leak, and that's just 5 words. Two, actually.
I'm not kidding. There are like dozens and dozens of these reviews. Bucket carries liquid. You know, I mean, it's just ridiculous. I think a lot of people are kind of glomming onto that. You know, just piling on. You know, it's a lot of fun.
How very strange and bizarre. Yeah. Tim, thank you so much for calling. I mean, what would a bad review for a bucket be? Our phone number, as you can tell by Tim's call, it's open topic here, 884-9910 for our last segment. I'm John Potter on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1147.
99.1 KKFT.
This is what I think.
Talk that matters most. FM Talk, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Glad to be here every Saturday, 9 to noon. I'm John Potter taking calls. Open topic, 884-9910. How open topic is it? Well, Larry is calling about, local job listings. Hey, Larry.
Hi, John. I'm Larry Chesney. I'm publisher of Pecan Press, but we recently joined the Reno Chamber of Commerce, and the president of the Reno Chamber of Commerce, Ann Silver, one of her favorite topics is trying to get in to the CARES campus and explain to, and I'm sure that she'd probably like to get on your show also, is that local employers have literally thousands of jobs and job openings.
Yes.
And she has access to training programs, statewide training programs, local training programs, these local employers are just begging for employees. And there's an avenue and a resource for these folks to go to work if they want to go to work.
Well, there are people who dispute that, but Larry, yes, from what I have seen and experienced and from all the people I know and business people, that is absolutely the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, and Ann's very emphatic about it, she's spreading the word wherever she goes that there's training dollars out there, but people just have to want to work.
And she represents in her position of our commercial enterprises here in Northern Nevada, Chamber of Commerce, right?
All of them, yeah.
Yeah, so these are people in the know, and she knows all the businesses that are just dying to get some employees. And people say, yeah, and okay, if the wage isn't enough for you, you can take that job for a while, get trained, and you move yourself up. I went to college in Indiana and came out, and my first job was basically pennies. And I started there in radio news. As I said earlier, I decided not to take over my dad's company, and I'd be set if I had done that. And I worked in radio news in Valparaiso, Indiana, and and I lived in a little rooming house with a hot plate. And then as I made a little bit more money, then I got an apartment, but I also had a roommate. You know, they don't get roommates now. Everybody, you know, but that's a wholly different story. But thank you for bringing up that fact, Larry, that there are so many places that do need workers, and there, you say there are programs that train them too.
There's tons of, Ann has access to many, many, many training programs, lots of training dollars out there, state, federal, private. There is no excuse for anybody that's capable of working not to have a job right now.
Well, yeah, let me try to get in contact with her, and maybe she'll be on the show in the future. Thank you, Larry.
Silver, she's very sharp, and thank you. Wonderful show.
Hey, well, I appreciate that, my friend. Take care. Folks, I will see you in person today at the third annual First Responder Appreciation Dinner, co-hosting with Chef Mark, who has put this on for the third year. Mark has worked, I think, most of the year on this, put together an amazing menu. Tickets do not cost that much. It slipped my mind how much they are. But it is today, 5 p.m., we're going to open the doors of the American Legion Post 1 at 877 Ralston Street in Reno. And I hope to see you there. I'll be on microphone, and we'll be doing auctions. And there's a silent auction, a little bit of entertainment that Chef Mark has lined up. But it's your chance to personally thank the first responders who are there and treated on the house by Chef Mark. He's gotten donations to put this together. And the first responders are going to be there, and it's going to be an honor meeting them. That's today at American Legion Post on Ralston, 5 o'clock, and I will see you there. We were talking about the most misspelled words in Nevada. The word is seizure. And on the same Google search, I've also learned that young folks are different. They use emojis. And chances are, if you're over the age of 40, you might not speak emoji properly. A new study shows that 91% of workers say some of their text messages have been misunderstood, in part because older workers use the wrong emojis. And I thought, and I bring this up because I think the classic example made me burst out laughing. The classic example on emojis, not from workers, but from grandmas. I got to preface this by saying when you reach a certain age, it becomes hard to see the little details in an emoji. You know, the little yellow face that's laughing so hard that it's crying? Apparently, many a grandma has sent that hysterical laughter emoji after a death in the family because they only see the tears. They only see the... Anyway, and a lot of emojis are code. Did you know, and I never knew this, that the little baseball cap emoji represents a lie? I did not know this. I thought it was just, a baseball fan. No, the baseball cap emoji represents a lie. It's derived from men wearing baseball caps to hide their receding hairlines. So a ball cap represents a make-believe. The plate of spaghetti emoji. That means nude photos. Spaghettis are noodles. Nudes. Get it? I mean, I was so clueless on these things. I guess we... So if your emoji game is weak, just use words. And something I said last week about AI, and I will say it again like I did last Saturday, AI has no soul. When artificial intelligence erupts in goosebumps over Ray Charles, America the Beautiful, then I'll pay it more attention. I got some good response emailed on that. And speaking of what came from Silicon Valley, we have another gift from them. The young kids have invented a new term that you will hear if you haven't already. The geeks turned dog food into a verb, creating a new word, dog fooding.
All right, before we go, John, I have to interrupt you for just a second. It looks like the roads have cleared. For the most part, all of the NDOT cameras are now working again. So through Carson City, it looks like it is cleared up. Looks like there are some slow portions that are still catching up, but it looks like our Biden traffic jam is over with.
And dog fooding is when an employee uses his or her company products. There, you didn't know that.
Didn't know that.
I'll see you next Saturday, folks. Have a great weekend.